In the first reading today, we hear something that's rather astounding, and that is that God speaks to the people of Israel through the prophet Isaiah and tells them that he is going to espouse them to himself. That's a rather beautiful thing, but why is it so astounding? Because God already did that. Centuries previous, at Mount Sinai, God had espoused the people of Israel to himself. So why then is he telling us this years and years later? Because there is something that is new that is coming. There is something more than what God had already done with the people of Israel. And so when our Lord came into this world, he certainly came to take away our sins, but in so doing, he came to prepare for himself a bride. And when we look at the cross, it is there that he himself gave himself for his bride. We can go back and look at the book of Genesis in the Garden of Eden, where from the open side of Adam, his bride was made. And so on the cross, from the open side of our blessed Lord, his bride also came forth. The blood and water that came forth, the symbol of baptism and the symbol of the Holy Eucharist. And it is in baptism that we are made members of Christ, and the Holy Eucharist that we are united with him. So what does all that have to do with what God said through Isaiah? The church is the bride of Christ. And each and every one of us being baptized into Christ is therefore a member of the bride of Christ. Doesn't matter if we're male or female, we are all members of the bride of Christ. Obviously, that's easier for women to grasp than it is for men, but the reality is the same. And if we are members of the bride of Christ, then we have to ask ourselves, what does the bridegroom of our soul do as the bridegroom? And what do we do as the bride? Well, one of the things that we have to look at is that when we consider marriage, a lot of people seem to think that marriage is a 50-50 proposition. Marriage is not a 50-50 proposition. Marriage is a 100-100 proposition. It is a total giving of self and a total receiving of the other. That's why when a couple gets married, they do not give gifts to one another. They are the gift to one another. You give your entire self away and you receive to yourself the entire gift of the other. 100%. Now that's exactly what Jesus does. That's what he does for us. Now if he gives himself 100%, and he does, we have to ask ourselves then what is our disposition in receiving him? That's a critical question. Think about what's going to happen here in just a few minutes when you come forward to receive Holy Communion. The Lord gives himself to you completely. You receive the entire person of Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. It's not a piece of Jesus. It's not a symbol of Jesus. It's not a sign of Jesus. You receive the entire person of our Lord. He is not physically present in the Eucharist. He is sacramentally present, which is why you can receive his entire person in one tiny little host, because it is the sacramental presence. You receive his substance. You receive his body, his blood, his soul, and his divinity, his entire person that he is giving to you. So that being his disposition, we then have to ask ourselves, what is my disposition when I receive him? Am I willing to open my heart and receive his entire person into myself? And what is my disposition in giving to him? Am I willing to give my entire self to him? That's what we really have to look at. Because our Lord, being that he loves us as he does, and in fact, so much, if we look again at the point of what's in the gospel, it says, or in the first reading rather, as a bridegroom rejoices in his bride, so shall your God rejoice in you. Think about that. Your God rejoices in you. That's how much he loves you. Do you find your joy in him? Are we willing to open our hearts to receive him? Because he loves us that much. Now, remember that love is doing what is always best for the other. So if he's giving himself 100% to you, he is going to do only what is the very best for you. The problem is that we sometimes get rather confused about what's the best. And so if he's going to give himself entirely, and he does, then he has given to the church also his Spirit. The Spirit of Christ is the Holy Spirit. And therefore he has given to you his Holy Spirit in his fullness. And yet at the same time, the Holy Spirit, as we heard in the second reading from St. Paul, St. Paul says he gives to each individual the manifestation of the Spirit for some benefit, for the sake of others, for a benefit. So sometimes we get confused and we want some gifts of the Holy Spirit. St. Paul talks about wisdom and knowledge and faith and healing, mighty deeds, prophecy, discernment of spirits, varieties of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and so on. If God wants only what's the best for you, he is going to give you what is the best for you because he loves you. But if we start demanding from God what we think he ought to give us, we're actually asking for something that isn't the best. It's good, but it may not be the best. God will give to each one of us the gifts necessary for us, perfectly fitted to our personality, perfectly fitted to our situation in life, and perfectly fitted to what it is that he is going to ask of us so that we will have those gifts to be able to use for his glory. But if we look at it and think, no, I've got a better idea. I know what I want. And people do that. I want to speak in tongues. I want to heal. I want to do this or that. I know one person who one day came to me and said, I was at a prayer meeting, and I told God I want the gift of prophecy. I said, oh boy. He said, now do you know what he wants me to do? He wants me to tell people to quit sinning. I said, that's the gift of prophecy. She said, no, I wanted to predict the future. I said, sorry, that's not what prophecy is about. Prophecy is about telling people God's will for them. So I said, since you asked for it, now you have to use it. It didn't fit the personality. It didn't fit the situation in life. But that's what this person was telling God she wanted. Now she had to use it. Not a good idea to tell God what he ought to do. He loves you. He is going to do what's best for you. So he's given you his Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to work in you in the way that is perfect and best and according to your state in life. So for those who are married, the Holy Spirit is also given to help you in your marriage with all the gifts that are necessary for that. We again go back and look at that question of the marriage. Our Lord's first miracle, we hear in the gospel reading today, was worked at a marriage feast. That was not by accident. He could have done whatever he wanted whenever he wanted. He purposely did this at a wedding feast to call attention to what he was here for and to call attention to what it is that we are all called to. Heaven is a marriage banquet. And so that's what we're to be preparing for. Now, within that context, so that's what heaven is. All of us as members of the church, as we talked about, are members of the bride of Christ, so we're already in this marital intimacy. But now, individual members within the church are also called to the sacrament of holy matrimony. And that's then what the Lord presents to us as to how we are to live it. We look at the cross, and if it is there that our Lord consummated his marriage with his church, we recognize what marriage is about. It is a dying to self and living for another. Again, we see that in Adam and Eve. We see it in our Lord in the church. Our Lord literally poured out his entire being, his entire life, everything he had for the church. The church then in turn receives that life and then gives it back. That's what we're doing here right now. We come to Mass, we celebrate Mass, and in the celebration of the Holy Eucharist, the church is giving the life of Christ back to him. And the Lord gives us his life. So again, you're going to receive him in Holy Communion, his entire being, including his life. And then we can give that life back to him. That again is that cycle. That's what's to be happening within a marriage. It's two people living for one another. It's two people dying to themselves. It's two people seeking the good of the other. And so it's dying to self to give the life to the other, receiving that life the other gives as they die to themselves for you. That's the whole idea. And if marriage is the foreshadowing of heaven, and that's exactly what it is, you really have to ask yourself, do I want heaven to look like what's going on in my house? Does my marriage really foreshadow the love of heaven? That's what it's supposed to do. And if it doesn't, then my question to you is, what are you going to do to change it? And it's not about looking at your spouse and saying, well, if that one would change. It's like, no. What are you going to do to change? Are you dying to yourself? Are you giving your entire self to the other? Are you willing to receive the gift that the other is giving to you? That's the challenge. There are some people who can't wait until their marriage is over because it's so awful. Remember, if both of you actually manage to get to heaven, you're going to love one another perfectly for the rest of eternity. So you better get started now, because that's what it's all about. It's preparing for eternity. For those of us who are not married, we should be able to look at married people and say, that is what heaven is going to be. This is so beautiful. That's what we can look forward to in heaven. And for those who are married, they can look at those of us who aren't and be able to say, as beautiful as married life is, heaven must be so much greater even that these people are willing to forego the beauty of married life for something that's even greater. And so we help one another then to continue to grow, continue to grow in love. So it's again something all of us need to look at, but especially those who are married. And think again about what goes on when you come forward to receive communion. Look at your disposition. Look at our Lord's disposition toward you. His disposition is to give himself entirely to you in love. That is the disposition each and every one of us is to take from church and bring home, and then to live in the world. But only if we can receive the love and receive his life will we have that to give to somebody else. So are we really opening our hearts when we come to Holy Communion? Are we really willing to receive the gift of our Lord's self? Or are we just going through the motions? Do we allow him to love us? And do we love him? He's loving us 100%. How much of that gift are we receiving? Are we loving him 100%? Because that's what it's about. That's what a marriage is about as well. So this is the expression at the communion rail. That's the expression of your baptism. It's in baptism you entered into the covenant with Christ, the marital covenant with him, and that's expressed in the reception of our Lord in Holy Communion. And so too in the marital covenant of holy matrimony, the expression of love. Every day, every moment of every day, having the heart open to love and to be loved, to give, to receive. That's what married life is to be. That's what heaven is going to be. So again, look at those things. Look at what heaven will be. Look at what goes on at the communion rail. And then ask yourself, how am I living my married life? Is it truly dying to myself and living for others? Is it receiving the gift that the others are giving to me? Is it truly about love, or is it about selfishness? Is it about life, or is it going the other way? God wants what's best. He has given you himself. He has given you his Holy Spirit. He's given us everything to be able to live the way that we're supposed to. Now it's for us to cooperate, to prepare ourselves, whether it be through marriage or for those of us looking at those who are married, to prepare for the eternal marriage banquet, because that's what heaven is. That's what Mass is. That's what married life is to be, the foreshadowing of the eternal marriage banquet of heaven.